Hola, ¿qué tal? Buenos días, mi valle. ¿Cómo estamos? I know I sound horrible. Toda la gente va a decir, man, qué horror, porque está en la estación de radio escuchándose como se escucha. But honestly, I have to say, I sound, what is that? I sound worse than how I feel, or I sound really bad, but I feel really good. So I am energized. I just wanted to put that out there. I know last week I didn't come in because I had lost my voice, so I'm barely regaining this voice that I wanted to compartir with you guys. I wanted to wish everyone a happy and merry, you know, holiday that they had had. Y ya casi estamos a finales, pero you know what? Like I promised, we had mentioned that I had mentioned that I wanted to make el mes de enero, you know, new year, new me, and we started talking about, you know, cosas financieras. We started talking about weight. We started talking about dietas, comer saludable. And one of the things that I did promise you was that I was going to bring to you someone that was going to talk finance to you. And so with that said, I brought Maricela Lopez. She's here in the studio. She'll be talking to us in just a couple minutes. But I wanted to kind of focus and hone in on the new year, new me. And sorry, I started off as being the same old Isela. There you go. You got sick primero del año and kind of lost my vibe there. But you know what? There's time to celebrate because I just checked my LinkedIn account and it seems that I have now reached my two-year anniversary of La Hora on the airwaves. So yay, I'm super happy. Muchas gracias to all those personas that had said, you know, felicidades, that, you know, took the time out and just gave me their special vibe about, hey, Isela, thank you so much for being on the airwaves. And so what we do, and if you've never heard my show, La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM, is that we try and bring resources to la comunidad latina because we know that there's resources out there, but do we use them? Maybe not. And then también traemos músicas y artes, and then we start bringing you a lot of nonprofits that are out there and that we don't use their resources. Or maybe you didn't even know that they were out there. So it's been an absolute pleasure bringing to our comunidad through the airwaves all of these resources. Y como quien dice, pa adelante for sure. So in the room, and I know I wish I had a camera. I mean, you guys could catch us on Instagram, La Hora with Isela. I mean, I'm getting tagged by her best friend, Erika. So Erika's in the studio, woo woo, and she's what is she doing?
Angel.
Erika. That's my sister. Hey, Erica. I just mentioned Erica, my sister. And then Angel. Angel's her best friend. I'm so sorry. You could hear the laughs going through the studio, but now you know what that's all about. Okay. My mind is really not into it. Here we go. All right. Dos años. Here we go. So with that said, Maricela Lopez is going to give us a little bit of insight, you know, and some of her expertise and la buena vibra a la hora today. And why I brought Maricela was because we wanted to talk finance. We wanted to talk about, you know, those taboos that we hear out there. Why is it that we can't keep a cent in our pocket? Why is it that when our kids are off to college, we don't have the money? Why is it that we're like, pues a ver cómo le haces? You know, like, who knows how you're going to do it? Or, you know, you're looking at the 401k and the savings aren't there. And so I thought it was such a great resource. I reached out through Instagram and we made the connection. So without further ado, and what I'm going to have her do is just kind of in our first segment, I'm going to have Maricela talk to us a little bit about what it is that where she's from, a little bit of her background, and give us a little bit about who Maricela Lopez is before we start digging deep into those pockets y que saquen ese dinero. All right. Welcome, Maricela. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I promised you I was going to make this as easy as possible.
Okay, perfect. I love you for that. So first and foremost, I just want to say congratulations on your two-year anniversary.
Thank you.
That's a big deal. Your hair looks great. Your voice isn't that bad. You're good.
Not that bad. It's bad, but not that bad.
But I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come and, you know, talk a little bit about finances, a little bit about my background and stuff. So,
my pleasure. Hey, if it's a resource for the community, I mean, I think the more people know that there are people out there that can help them,
right?
Why not?
Right. I 100% agree. So a little bit about myself. So I've actually born and raised most of my life here in Napa. I did live in Oregon for a little while.
Oh, nice.
So I've pretty much been, I learned about money short in the beginning of my life, like at age 16, okay, believe it or not. So My background is just growing up in Napa, I ended up renting a room from like one of my uncles at age 16. So most people were in high school. Of course, I was in high school. My 16. Very first job, I was working at Taco Bell, making $8.25.
What year was that, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh my God, that was 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started there. And that's kind of where the money came in, of learning the responsibility of it. Because you have a job, and most of the time, before you get your check, your money's already spent, right? For most people.
Right.
So my uncle just told me, look, we got to teach you responsibility. You're going to have to be paying $300 rent. And most 16-year-olds, $300 rent, you're like, wait, what? Where's that going to come from, right? So I'm so thankful for my uncle for that, because if it wasn't for that seed planted at a young age, I don't think I would be where I am today in my life. So I got started doing makeup. You know, makeup's always been like,
by the way, go-to. Her makeup is on point. I'm like, did you know you were coming to the radio and not TV? Because it's freaking phenomenal. I'm looking at you. I'm like, oh my God, yo que me pinté las cejas in my truck. I'm all like, okay, I'm putting my glasses really close to my face so she won't even look at them. Oh my gosh.
No, you look great. So I started with that and, you know, just learning. And then eventually I got better at it, where people would actually pay me. So I was excited about that, you know. So I've always been, I want to say I've been semi-smart about my money, but there was a time when you turn 18, 19, and you get all these credit cards sent to your house.
Of course. You're like, oh, the banks are
so
excited.
Lovely. All this free money, right?
What?
So I experienced that roller coaster. You know, I guess everyone has to go through it, but with my mistakes that I've made, you know, using credit card, and this was like, you could name it, Victoria's Secret, Old Navy, you know, random stuff. And I learned very fast when I got into financial services, because I understand, hey, it's better to save than to spend on credit. Yes, credit is good. You got to build your credit, but not like overboard. Don't be spending it, maxing out, flipping your credit cards. Don't be doing none of that. So, you know, I have my family here. They use me as their resource, which I'm super thankful for. I'm very thankful. So my sisters will call me when they ever have questions, like, what do you think I should do? You know, X, Y, Z. And I love it that I'm available to share my knowledge with them, so they have a successful future and they have success with their finances.
Now, would you say, do they use you to, I mean, they're so comfortable in sharing their finances, because there's a lot of families or a lot of individuals, I won't say families, but individuals that are kind of scared of putting themselves out there, like, oh, I don't want them to know that I'm not financially stable.
Right, right. And you know what? That's great. That's a great point, because when I do sit with a lot of my families, not just my family, but other families, everything's confidential. And I'm not there to judge nobody. I always, you know, tell people my story, you know, and I let them know it's better that you're thinking and doing something now, mm-hmm. because I'm here to help you. So when I started my financial journey, you know, getting licensed and stuff, I started at 22. So it was an intimidation, because I was sitting with a lot of older people. And I'm like, they're probably looking at me like, who's this girl? Who does she think she is telling me about financial services?
Right. That's right. And isn't it weird being female? And then on top of that, your age. And I said, give me my seed. What is she going to come and tell me?
Right.
Ain't that a stereotype?
In our community, like with the Latinos, they're like, no, we got it. We're putting our money under the mattress. We don't trust nobody, you know? So I deal with that, but I do it in my best ability. And when people tell me no, I don't take it personal, because I just feel like they're telling me no, not right now. Okay. And I do get a lot of callbacks of people like, hey, you know, I need help. What do you recommend? Can you come by and give us suggestions? You know, X, Y, Z. So
now, do you only offer services for individuals and or businesses? Is it, or is it both?
Both. I have done a few, what do you call it, presentations for the community at different places in Napa. Businesses. I'm always constantly introducing myself to new people, passing out my cards. Hey, you know, my name is Maricela. I'm expanding. This is what I do. Call me if you have questions.
Okay.
So, yeah, I want to say I keep an open platform to, you know, all over to people who just need help.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. Going back to our Latino community, do you see that when you're having these seminars, they're filled by people like colored the same as you and I that are like, man, I really need to get moving, and different ages, or are you seeing it's a younger crowd?
Honestly, I feel like it's more of a younger crowd. Okay. I feel like a lot of people have access to social media, so they see this certain lifestyle or these certain things, or people just creating these websites and these businesses. I see more entrepreneurs that are like chasing the money, like chasing things. But I also see that a lot of them do chase more materialistic things. Yeah. And where I come in place, yes, I'm a millennial, but I see future. I see long-term, like, hey, this is great. You know, spend your money wisely, but also pay yourself first, you know?
Yeah. That's the truth. Gosh, I'm a soul prop. We'll have a conversation later. Oh, my God. Because you sit here and you're like, okay, this is great. And then you pay all these small little fees for absolutely everything. And then you're like, man, when am I going to see my cut? Or a great cut? Right. If you kind of see like the business is good, but what I bring home is like minimal. So it's kind of like, when am I going to get my break? So it's good. That's good to hear that you offer those services. So if you're just tuning in, and I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, I have Maricela in the studio who's talking to us about financials. And, you know, we're trying to break those taboos to get you into putting money into the bank, or maybe even I'll have her, she's the expert, tell you where to put it, and it's surely not under the mattress, like she said, but it is, whether it's in a bank account, 401k, saving for college, whatever it is, but she's going to give us some tips here. So please stay tuned. This is La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM.
I'm local attorney and fire survivor Roy Miller. In 2017, PG&E burned down my home, and they almost did it again in the Kincaid Fire. Hanson & Miller has over 60 years of experience in Sonoma County, and our entire staff was raised right here. If you lost trees, crops, your home, or business in the Kincaid Fire, contact our local Sonoma County law firm at 575-1040 or go to firejustice.com for more information. We work on a contingency fee. Our team has the experience of filing thousands of fire claims, so let us handle your PG&E claim while you focus on getting your life back together. We help our fire clients with insurance issues and rebuilding issues free of charge. Come to a meeting this Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. or Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. at 415 Russell Avenue in Santa Rosa, across from the Kaiser Main campus. Call us at 575-1040. That's 575-1040, or visit firejustice.com.
Roy Miller is responsible for this ad.
Hi, this is Barry Martin. When your weekend is all wrung out and Monday rolls around, wah, wah, tune in the Wine Country Live radio show. We'll try and make the best of it together. News and weather, sports and traffic, of course. And on the Monday show, Mariam Abadamas, the candidate for District 5 supervisor, challenging incumbent supervisor Ramos. She'll be with us in the 8 o'clock hour for a candidate profile. That and everything else you need to know, every single thing, on Wine Country Live Monday morning.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. This is Isela Martin, and you're listening to La Hora on KVON 1440 AM. We made the introduction of Maricela Lopez. She is sitting in our studio, and she is giving us tips on, you know, the greater things in life, that green, the money, what you're bringing in. She's going to give us a little bit of tips on, I would say, como traer el dinero and kind of keep it into that savings or whatever it is that you're trying to do. She gave us some really great things to start off our show. And I'm going to make the introduction to Maricela because I'm going to ask her a couple questions. Maricela, welcome back. It was just a short little break. I know you have a couple statistics. Do you want to start off and kick us off with a couple statistics?
Yeah, definitely. I will go over a few statistics here, and then whatever extra questions you have, definitely feel free to stop me to ask. So what I have here is what middle-income Americans want to know more about their finances. And this is, I'm going to do general population versus Hispanics, okay? So one of the big ones is how to invest. And with the public population, it is a 47% versus Hispanics, we're at a 50%. All right, and then how to pay off debt. So debt could range anywhere from you know, paying off your car, paying off credit card, paying off college loans, and so forth. So general population was actually at a 31%, and the Hispanic population is at a 29%. The next one we have here is how to budget and spend responsibly. So like I mentioned earlier, when I got all crazy with my credit cards, that was obviously not responsible, right? So the general population did 34%.
That's awesome.
And the Hispanic population were at 38%. So obviously we'd like to see that higher, right?
Right.
The next one I have here is how to build and maintain good credit. So we're getting into that point where a lot of, like personally, a lot of my clients, they want to buy houses soon. They want to buy houses within the next 2 to 5 years. And obviously you need good credit for that, right? So general population, we're at a 24%, and the Hispanic population's 27%.
Hey.
So we need to start getting our credit right, you guys.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm going to, since you gave that statistic, I'm going to throw this other statistic from 2017. So 46.2 Latinos own a home in the United States. So that's 7 million in total, which we are the only demographic that owns a home that increased our rate for 3 consecutive years. Excuse me.
That's awesome.
And that was 2007 data going back.
Okay.
Because going forward, you could only imagine like the housing market and everything is at a boom. So wait till it deflates and then we'll be back. We'll be back.
right. That's true. So the next one I'm going to talk about is how to protect myself and my family financially in a tragedy, because this is like, we never know, you know, God forbid something happened. We never know when things will happen. Right.
And personally on that note, do you see a lot of people protecting their assets, protecting their family because they, like, no one likes to talk about death.
I know. It's a touchy subject. So I prefer to talk about money first, and then, you know, God forbid something happened, you have to protect your biggest asset, and that's you. Because what people don't understand is, yes, you may have a nice house and you may have a nice car, but you have family, you have your wife, your spouse, you have your children. God forbid something happened to your income. Who's relying on that? Your children.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, so my that's goodness. Huge. That's huge. We're at a general population's actually at a 36%. And the Hispanics are at a 40%, so it went up. And just FYI, you guys, this is all the statistics from 2019, obviously, because we're in 2020. So how to save for retirement. So retirement's a big thing. A lot of companies at your work, your 401ks and stuff, they provide that, and I think that's awesome, especially if they match you a certain percent, which is great.
I used to have a company used to match 10%. I love them.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
I love
them. So more companies need to do that. The ones who do it, kudos to you. And the ones who don't have it, then you got to invest yourself. So when I say invest yourself, it's pretty much what, and I'll go over it shortly, but it's pretty much investing in something like a mutual fund. Mutual funds, most people aren't familiar with them, but they're, you know, 75 to 100 different companies that spread out across the board, and you can look up like the rule of 72, compound interest. These are things that you can, you know, obviously find on Google. We teach those to our families. That's one of our number one priorities, is teaching them the rule of 72 versus putting your money, just leaving it at home, versus putting it in the bank where you're not earning a 1% or more, or putting in a mutual fund where you can earn somewhere between like a 9%. So that's one of my favorite things to teach families, because we don't have, especially in the Latino community, we do not have a lack in work ethic. Would you guys agree? We do not have a lack.
We don't. We got hustlers.
Right.
Yes,
we'll work
we do.
Two, three jobs, an overnight job, babysitting job. You know, we'll do it all. It's just a lack in the information and the knowledge. And that's where I get my drive from, because I'm like, in 30 years, 40 years, are you going to be relying on the government to be handing you a check every month? Yeah. Or are you going to be relying on the money you built?
Right.
You put that hard sweat, tears in, that hard work in, and that money is going to accumulate and double.
Right.
So.
No, yeah. I mean, I've considered it. It's like, oh my gosh, my money's just sitting in my account. I'm like, what do I need to do on my end? And that's just a lack of education.
Yeah.
And it's just getting financially smart.
That's all it is. So we can all do a turnaround. Everyone can do a turnaround. Just get the information, you know, for 2020. Set yourself up for success and make it happen.
Okay. So with that said, now what do you think, do you have any more statistics for me?
I can go over some a little bit later.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. So, I just had another question for you. So you're talking about good credit. We're all talking about almost the same direction that we want to go into. And that is pretty much, being on the financially stable road. We haven't really touched on college or any other like savings. Have you had, these families come to you, or maybe a concerned father or a single parent, say, I really want my son or daughter to go to college, but you know, I don't want them to rely on scholarships. What does that even look like?
That's a good for a family. Point. That's actually a good point you said.
And when is that like a good time to even start investing?
Great question. So to add on to what you were saying, a lot of people that I've sat with do say my kids are going to have to rely on scholarships.
What?
So that's where the whole academic of go to school, get good grades. And I'm all for that. Definitely do what you have to do to get that, to secure that, which is great. Cause that's, you know, a lot of people's goals. One thing that what I like to say is the sooner you start, the better. And the sooner you start, the better. If you have a child, you can start doing their, putting something away like $25 a month. $25 a month is super simple. It's everyone could afford it. And everyone could afford it. And even like the other day, I had a client who started with $25 a month, and their kid is only 1 year old.
Oh.
So imagine everyone goes to college, you know, 18, 19 years old, sometimes a little bit later, sometimes a little bit sooner. But imagine that time accumulating in an investment for your kid to have something for college.
That's awesome. It's huge. I mean, granted, I started early. I have, believe it or not, I'm going to have a 21-year-old.
You
That's
are?
Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's crazy. We're going to the club in May.
Yes. You go, Mom. That's awesome.
So I'll have a 21-year-old and I have a senior. So he's going to graduate. He's actually going to graduate early. And I look at that, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Early. But wow.
Early. That's, I mean, he's so doing awesome. The Marine thing. And
okay.
Thank
well, congratulations.
God. Because it was tough. It's like, do I eat or do I save? So that was kind of the road I was on for a while. And then, now that, you know, my other son, he wants to go to school, it's like, well, it's going to be all out of pocket. It's going to be all out of pocket. So if I'm saying something, man, this is for real. Like, you guys need to put some money in that pocket. What you're saying, you're preaching to the choir, because I would have done anything for someone to tell me, hey, you could save 25 bucks for college. You could save 10 bucks. You know, I didn't start seeing or looking into finances until I opened my business, where I'm like, I got to do this for my kids so they could see that, you know,
right. This
is what I always wanted to do. But then when you start looking at, like, what are the best investments for my company, I start looking at, like, man, I could have got this, you know, this for my kids instead of for the business. You know what I mean?
Just a little sacrifice.
Right.
In there.
And I'm catching my breath here because I ran to the door.
Angel was locked out for a few minutes.
That's fine. Yes, she is. But what I was trying to say, though, to all that, it's, you know, it's the lack of, and I keep saying this, and gosh, there's not enough information out there. Or
right.
Why aren't people listening?
Right.
Why do they walk away from, oh, we're going to have a financial workshop? I don't want people telling me what to do with my money. Why? Why do people shy away from that? Maybe because it's a language that they don't understand and they're not comfortable. I don't know. What do you think those taboos are?
It could be a few different reasons. Some things that I came across earlier in my years is the I don't want you to know how broke I am, you know? And I just,
I'm broke.
Real with people, you know? I am real with people. I do my best to be 100. No one's perfect. I'm not like the super million billionaire yet, you know? But
hey, I'm real with them, good.
You know, everyone starts somewhere. And if you have a goal, like I'm really big on goal setting. So if I want something, I'm like, okay, this is how much I have to put aside. This is why I have to do it because I'm going here. And I want to travel here, or I want to buy this for my mom, or I want to buy this for myself, right? So I get it. We want to definitely treat ourselves to things, but also just discipline a little bit.
Yeah.
People don't understand that, you know, something as simple as Starbucks coffee 5 days a week.
I've given it up.
People will go and spend $5, $6 every day times five because they go to work.
That's gross.
Sometimes on the way home. But they don't realize if you just, honestly, I'm going to be real with you guys. When I do budgets for my families, the biggest thing that they spend their money on is
food.
Is food.
Amen. I closed out my books for 2019. And this is the first time in, because I'm going on a 5-year anniversary for my business.
Congratulations.
And thank you. This summer. And it's the first time that I get my true financials. Like, because it takes a while. I did like a half year the first one. Second one, I think it was the first fires. And then there was a good year. And then another fire. Right. I'm like, great. So anyway, and in looking at all that, I'm like, I'm not eating out. I don't care if I live in the Napa Valley. I dislike where I live. And it's really, I don't dislike where I live. I love where I live. But it is very tempting to live the Napa Valley life.
Oh, absolutely.
And just posting that on Instagram and just having a wine glass. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this on the white wall in my living room, and I'm wine tasting in Napa Valley looking outside my window. You know what I mean?
The studio says we could just set up a wine tasting here. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's just making wiser choices. When I saw that number, I was blown away when you can get an instant number, and it tells you everything you did for the year, and I'm like, this cannot be true. This cannot be true.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, now I know why I'm like 58 pounds overweight, but that's okay.
You and me both. We're all on the same boat. So, yeah.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. I just got a little bit of breaking news. I have Kobe Bryant and I'm just hearing this from the newsroom. So it is Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash. I do not have other details, but as they come in, I will be notifying. But this is something that I'm reading, and I was getting a bunch of text messages. So I believe he was on a helicopter, and there was a fatal crash in Southern California. So if this is true, I just want you to know that our prayers go out to his wife and entire family. So you're listening to La Hora with Isela on 1440 AM. We'll be right back after a couple of sponsored commercials. Here we come.
Listen this afternoon for the rebroadcast of local high school basketball on Monday through Friday following the Berry Pad in the 3 o'clock slot, and on Saturdays following the On the Wine Road in the noon slot. That's rebroadcast of local high school basketball on KVON.
Community Grapevine.
Join the Arts Council Napa Valley as 10 high school students compete for the title of Best Poetry Reciter in the county. KVON's Barry Martin hosts the National Poetry Out Loud Contest on Friday, February 7th at 6 p.m. at the Lucky Penny. Come see who will move on to the state championship. The event is free and open to the public, sponsored by the Poetry Foundation and National Endowment of the Arts. Visit Arts Council Napa Valley to learn more.
Wind Down Media. Loving our new digs at South Napa Century Center, featuring local designer Richard Bonshall's Maker's Lounge.
Hola, hola, buenos días. Again, you are listening to La Hora with Isela on KBOM 1440 AM in the studio. You've heard, and you've heard correctly, we have Marisela, and she is here giving us statistics. She's giving us financials. She's telling you where to put your dough is what she's telling you. But if you ain't listening, then I'm sure you're not putting it in the right place, that's for sure. If you guys saw our Instagram post, yo quiero dinero. Well, you can't get it if you go don't put it away. That's for sure. I'm Marisela, and welcome back again. And I'm letting you know that I'm sure you see this all the time. Everyone's so flashy out there, and they're wearing Rolex, and they're driving the car, and they're looking the look. But the bank account's empty, and they're living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, how true is that? How true is that? You know, it's raining money everywhere.
You know, that's very true in the times I've experienced sitting with families. And I think that's another thing. It's more just trying to keep up with your neighbor, trying to keep up with the lifestyle. And I see it all over. Obviously, I'm on social media a lot, you know, but it's keeping up with your neighbor. And unfortunately, there are people who are doing that off of, you know, credit and living paycheck to paycheck. So ideally, you just have to make some sacrifices. I believe you just got to cut down on a lot of things that you don't need versus what you want, what you need. So mm-hmm. it's that simple. But a lot of people don't have that mentality yet because they don't know where to start. But then again, they're still trying to keep up with everybody else. And I'm not hating, I'm not judging, but I'm there to and that's what I'm going to go over next, but I'm there to educate you on, like, hey, maybe you don't have to cut down Starbucks, go cold turkey and go away 5 days, but maybe just cut it down to 3 days.
Right.
And you'll see that difference of that 2 days a week times the month. Right. You'll have some extra money. Just start putting it away.
You know what? If Starbucks means so much to you, go buy one of their recycled plastic cups and refill it every single day. And nobody cares what's inside the cup.
Right.
Nobody's asking you, like, what did you get today? You know, it could be your drip coffee thing you have on a schedule at 5 o'clock in the morning by the time you get up. You know, I mean, I think there's just this vanity that has to go with this whole financial thing that we do keep up with our neighbors. And that's another plática that we can talk about. We need a psychologist here and counselors. And what's wrong with you?
Seriously.
But. So one of the questions I had, I know we talked a little bit about retirement. So what would you say is a good time? I've seen a lot of articles about, like, even late retirement. I took out my 401k, and that was to start my business. Somebody said that was the worst thing you could have ever done. I said, I think I'll find myself in a better situation. I'm barely kicking off. People say, wow, you've been in the business for 5 years. Your business should be booming. No, I'm barely getting familiar on how to do what I need to do internally in my office.
Right.
Because it's easy to do the job that you want to do, but it's hard to administrate everything that has to go with it.
Right.
So
right.
It's very, very new to me.
Right.
So when I'm thinking about that and I'm talking about financials, like, you know, when would be a good time to retire through your eyes?
All right, perfect. So first of all, I just want to say, on a personal note, I don't listen to anybody who doesn't make more money than me. All right? It's simple as that. And I'm being real because I do a lot of, in my office, I have a lot of mentors. I love them all to death. They've been in my life the last 5 years, and there's things I know now that I would never have learned anywhere else. So the one thing that they instilled in me is, hey, if they're not making what more than you by three times three, and if they don't have the things you have, then don't listen to them. So I just want to say, on a professional standpoint, 5 years is where it starts, because most businesses fail after 3 years. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so just so you guys have a little bit of perspective on where that started. So I had a home office when it first started and I started in the summer. The next year was the fires, and I opened my downtown office the Saturday before the fires because it was on a Sunday.
Wow.
And everybody was just closed for business. Right. If you weren't affected, then you were a volunteer. That's the way I kind of saw it.
No, that's true. And that was rough. That was rough for the Valley. And people are still rebuilding.
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough.
I almost closed doors this winter because of the fires again. And it's, I think as a business owner, you kind of think, you choose your battles. If you decide to go in debt, that's on you. Mm-hmm. You chose to do that. So before I even got there, I even said, people were asking me, well, how much are you in the hole? I'm like, well, not that much. Like, this is the amount. And they're like, why? Why are you going to close your doors? It's something you can fight for.
Exactly.
You know, but still then, I still put myself into a, where am I going to pull the money if it doesn't come in?
Right.
You know, so
right.
I think those are the choices that a lot of people are just like, ah, no, it hasn't happened. I'll file for bankruptcy. It'll be easier. Mm. It's like, why even go through that?
It
almost feels like there's like
a
title behind it. I don't want that. So when do you think retirement?
So that's a great question, Isela. What I know is a lot of times people think retirement is an age.
Mm.
Okay. But it's not. It's actually a number. And that number is a FIN number, which stands for financial independent number. And that number is based off of the amount of money you need to retire and stay retired. Because how often do, and I'm not knocking nobody, but how often do we go to the stores and we see, the older people at the door checking the receipts?
Well, yeah.
We see that often, right?
Yeah.
So that's not, obviously they don't want to be there. That's not their hobby. It's just, unfortunately, they retired too soon, not enough money.
Right.
So the academic that we're focusing on right now is showing people how to pay yourself first. And this is actually a rule of 72 I'm going to go over. You guys can Google it. If you're not listening, definitely take notes. The rule of 72 is also sometimes called the banker's rule. And what it is you divide your interest rate that you're earning into 72 to find the approximate number of years it takes for your money to double. So everybody needs to know how long it's going to take for your money to double. I don't care if it's $10,000 or $100,000. You need to know. And you do that based off of, for an example, if you're earning a 3%, you have $10,000 and you do 3 into 72, your $10,000 is going to turn to 20 after 24 years. Now, even the millennials, even young folks, that's still a long time to wait.
It is.
But if you jump to the spectrum of earning a 6%, you have the same $10,000, you divide it into 72, it's actually every 12 years. So it's a lot faster. So
right.
Your $10,000 after 48 years, you're going to have $160,000 versus $40,000.
Right.
So when I say it's the number, it's depending on what type of lifestyle you want. Your lifestyle might be different than mine. Mine might be different from Angel's. So it depends on, hey, in 30 years from now in today's dollars, how much are you going to need to be coming in? Think about it. Your home's paid off. Your kids are grown. They're in college. Your cars are paid off. You don't have any debt. How much money are you going to need for gas and to eat and to vacation a little bit if that's what you want to do?
Right. So when we're looking at the rule of 72, how many people out there really know what the rule of 72 is?
Honestly, not very many. Not very many at all.
Because I'm looking at this and I have another statistic about retirement. 57% of Latinos have never calculated how much money they will need to retire into their current lifestyle. 57%. That's more than half of us here.
Mm-hmm.
That's
crazy.
Well,
I'm available, you guys. So 57. Call me. DM me on Instagram. I got you.
Now, you're telling us to DM you. So where can we find you on las redes?
You can find me on my Instagram. That would be ideal because I'm constantly on it. I'm constantly promoting what I do and how I help the community. So just tag me at @Maricela_Lopez_.
Okay. And you're on just Instagram right now?
I'm on Instagram right now. You can find me on Facebook under Maricela Lopez.
Sounds good. And if you're looking for her on her Instagram account, I believe she has a beautiful yellow brim hat. I love the hat. I love the hat.
Thanks.
I'm trying to rock one of those, but I'm like, nah.
You told me I would have brought you one. You're going to wear it in here.
Oh, my goodness. No, so, okay. So we were talking about how to flip our money and make it into more, because that's fabulous. And you said that at 6%?
Yeah, that was a 6%.
Okay.
And I could do a 12% if you want.
Yeah, let's look at the 12%. What does that look like?
So if you do the same 10,000 at a 12%, when I say 12%, that's in mutual funds, okay? So DM me, I'll give you more information on that. But you take 12% into 70 divided by 72, and it's actually every 6 years. So it's a lot faster. So you take the same 10,000 and, like I mentioned earlier, 48 years. At a 3%, it's 40,000. At a 6%, it's 160,000. But at a 12%, it's a 2.5 million.
Hey.
And you, like I said, you guys take notes, do it on your phone, do it on your calculator. Just look up.
Do you see this often? 12%?
On a personal note, I'll speak on the radio. I've seen my accounts do that, yes.
Oh, damn. That's awesome. That's phenomenal. And see, those are the kind of resources that no one's putting it out there. I think people are just like, oh, it's a financial center. It's a financial center. And then anytime we want to talk about finances, I think... I have to say, like, for me, the taboo was like, I don't know what you're talking about when you're talking to me about mutual funds when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Interest rates. I don't know what that means. You know, sometimes I have conversations with my boyfriend and he's really savvy on the financial side. He still hasn't dived into my finances yet. And he has told me, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get in there. I'm like, no, you're not.
Thought has to turn into action. But yeah. That's what I love about what I do is I could just sit with people and give them the information. It's not like, oh, you know, do it now. Sign up now. It's like, you have the information. When you're ready to rock with me, then call me.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
How much money should be in your bank account, in your savings?
Great question. So the information that we give for our clients is my family's here and, you know, in the community is you want an emergency fund. An emergency fund, emergencies happen all the time. All right. We never know, but you need money because you want to avoid using the credit card debt because that's what most people use is, all right, just put on the credit card, you know. So with that being said, ideally, I feel like families should have anywhere between 6 months to 1 year of income in your savings account at the bank because you have access to it. If you have an emergency, if you lose your job, you need new tires because everybody knows tires are expensive, right? So ideally, yes, in the bank, minimum, whatever you make, you calculate that yourself. Whatever your spouse makes, you calculate that. And then that's what should be in your savings, okay? The second account is what we like to call a short-term account, and that's more so, you know, college, cars, if you need to get a new vehicle, if you want to purchase a home. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of my families want to start saving for their homes. You know, people are getting in that mentality, like, all right, we need to buy a home now. And the long-term is the retirement. So that's like if you have a 401k at your work or an IRA, individual retirement account, you know, you could have that personally. So those two, the short-term and the retirement, those are going to be growing at the rate of returns, like I was mentioned, like a 6% to 9% or whatever. And the emergency, you have access to that. You know, everyone should have a bank account to pay bills and so forth and just have some extra money that's your cushion.
Okay. That is interesting. Because a lot of people always ask, like, why are there so many accounts? Why do you have so many accounts? I'm like, you have no idea. There's a game you have to play here. There, I mean, really, one's to pay, the other one's for the car and all this stuff. So right. That's
avoid
the way I feel.
Avoid all overdraft fees. So just open a few extra.
That's another show. Right. That is another show when we're talking about overdrafts and stuff like that. But oh my goodness, time is flying. It's so informational. I really like that this conversation is going in the direction that it is. I mean, es para todas estas familias that really don't talk about this. I really want to, like, and it would be great to have you back on the show. And, you know, let's just talk about retirement.
You got it.
And then that way we will talk about retirement 101 and maybe we could do this on a monthly or something like that. Like you can come out, talk about retirement. Hey, this is new. Maybe even when ¿cómo se dice? Cuando el market crashes, you know, what that means to people. I've heard people remove their money out of, you know, stocks and just saving it in a bank and then putting it back in once it crashes. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, I don't know. But it's just interesting to hear. Now, when you were talking about like the temporary accounts, was that for college too?
Yeah, you can put,
your short term, excuse me.
You can do college funds, and then you can also do short term accounts.
Okay.
The good thing about these accounts is you have access to them. You see them. You get statements every 3 months, which is great. Another thing that I wanted to talk about, if that's okay with you, is just the high cost of waiting. And that means it's simply, like, I'll just give an example that I have here. So just putting away $200 a month. And when I say $200 a month, it doesn't have to be from one paycheck. I just tell people to make it easier. Break it in two. Break it into, most people get paid twice a month or
right.
every 2 weeks. So just do $100 a check if your savings at a 9% rate of return for 40 years. So this example would be a 25-year-old from 25 to 65. If you start and you just follow this system, put $200 away for those 40 years, by the time you turn 65, you'll have about $943,000.
Wow.
All right? But say you have some people who are like, okay, like let's just say you're that example. You're 25 today, okay?
I wish. Ooh, girl.
And then you have me, and I'm like, no, I'm going to wait until I'm 26. Let me just go on this vacation first, and then I'll start next year. With me, you think you're just pretty much wasting $2,400, right? But you're not. You're actually wasting $83,000 because the compounding. I would only retire or have $860,000 versus you having $943,000.
Makes sense.
You know? Or Angel, she didn't do this, but this is just an example. Say Angel's like, I'm just going to wait until I'm 30. You guys okay. are crazy. I'm waiting until I'm 30. Angel's amount that she's going to have is a little over $500,000. So she'll have like $592,000 because she waited that 5 years.
Well, goodness gracious. I don't even want to know my age because you said I was 20. So I'm keeping that number. I'm going to keep lying to myself.
And a lot of times... A lot of times when I sit with families, like I mentioned earlier, they are a little bit older than me. But I always feel like I have an old soul, so I communicate well with older people anyways.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't start thinking about retirement until they're 45 or 50.
There you go. That's knocking on heaven's door right there.
So that's the high cost of waiting. I just tell people start with something. Something is better than nothing. Even if it's $25 a month, $50 a month, get the habit going. And right. you're going to thank yourself later.
Right. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. We got like 10 minutes done. So do you have like things, let's just say the top number things to do. What would you say would be your number one thing to start doing the day of today for the new year, new me?
Okay, new year, new me. All right, stick to it.
Oh, gosh. Right? So we were on, oh, God, let me tell you this. Last show, we talked about, you know, the new year, new me, the gym memberships that everybody gets. So there was this article, and there was a graph that says sales are down for your fast food restaurants, and then your memberships, you know.
They go up.
Yeah, they go up. And there's a moment in time when they meet. And that is when people stop going to the gym. Yeah, February 9th is the exact date when people start falling off. And it's a week before a Valentine's Day. It's like, well, ya tengo mi cuerpo and, you know, happy Valentine's
He's stuck
Day.
With me now. I know. You ain't got a choice.
I know. That's a trip. So, like, when I see that, I mean, I'm sure that at some point people kind of stick to it, too, with the financials. And there's a time that people jump off. Do you guys have something like that? They would, and we don't have to say today, but we could probably go digging for statistics and we'll find it somewhere where people kind of jump off. And is that because of hardships or something that happens? Maybe they don't have that emergency fund. And
great question.
Yeah.
So, just to jump on a little bit what you mentioned. So for your example, is you said that you pulled out for your 401k to start your business.
Right.
So that probably gave you some penalties.
Oh, yeah.
You had O, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we recommend to our families, do 3 accounts. Do the emergency where you have access to it. Boom, it's there. If you need to get new tires and that's $800, you have the money. You don't have to use the credit. The short-term account, you have access to it. You know, it takes a few days to get, that's a non-retirement account. So you won't get penalized for that. You won't get penalized if you need it. If you're ready to buy that house, then boom, your money's there. And the long term is, you know, long term, if you're not 59 and a half and you do pull it out, you will get penalized.
Well, okay.
All right. And a lot of people do that because they don't know about the other two accounts or they don't have the other two.
And I think that's probably one of those taboos that we probably even deposit into wrong accounts, not knowing those penalties.
Right.
Because I've heard things like, nah, but can I avoid, you know, why am I going to give the bank my money if they're going to take it? I've earned it so hard, and then, you know, even my 401k, I don't want it because they penalized me. Well, it needs to stay in there. Like, I don't think anyone has walked them through right. the entire process. Oh, okay.
Don't expect it to grow in the bank. Like, I was giving you these mutual funds, the rule of 72.
Yeah.
That's going to grow. That's mathematical. It's going to do with what it's going to do.
Right.
The bank is just to keep it there. So if you bank at, you know, down the street, and you have an emergency, you go down the street
right.
and just take that money
out. And not all banks are created equal. I'm just wondering. She's not saying that out loud, but it was a no.
Let me smile, look pretty. Hold on.
No, I know you can't give advice on that stuff, but, you know, I'm just... Shoot, if I know the game, I started Bank of America, and then all of a sudden it was like, well... Why did I do that? And I'm going and I'm shuffling through different financial institutions. So anyway, another show. That's when I could have Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and all of them in here at
Tell
one time.
The truth.
Yes, we want to know.
Yeah. So it's kidding. Just rules to the money game. And right. and I'm all about teaching people the rules because everyone
I'm interested.
Deserves to play.
I'm down.
Everyone deserves to play. Everyone deserves to build wealth. Everyone deserves to pass on wealth to their family. Right. And I feel like since we live in Napa Valley, we look around and we see all these wineries and these owners and stuff. And you know what? We can be owners too. We can be wealthy too. We can have a successful life. We can have a life of abundance financially, you know, family, everything, anything you want, make it happen.
Right.
And I'm not saying money is everything, but honestly, money pays for when people go, what I've experienced talking to my families, and I am a very emotional person, so it's hard not to get emotional with them, but sometimes they're like, this is how bad it is. And you have to level up with them because they don't think there's no way out. So you have to be real with people and let them know, look, I promise you, get this done, start these habits, and 30 years, you're going to be good, and 10 years, you're going to be good. Yeah. And also teaching that to your children, instilling that into your kids, yeah. even if this is information that we should have learned in high school. Because right. I didn't learn about this until I started saving $200 a month on top of paying my $300 rent. Okay, so that was hard already. But my uncle told me, always pay yourself first, always pay yourself first. And because of that, I didn't think long term. I was thinking vacations and makeup and shoes
yeah.
and like me. And thank God I was able to travel and do all of those things the last 10 years. But when I turned 22, so that's a big gap, 16 to 22, that's when I started investing. And I'm like, okay, 22, 32, 42, I'll be done.
Good.
God willing, I'll be done. But, so I just feel like we just have to start the habit, and we just have to believe like we can build wealth and abundance.
That's awesome. That's awesome. If you're just tuning into the show, this was La Hora with Isela. We are running on the last 2-3 minutes, the last strands of financial advice that Marisela Lopez gave us. And it was a phenomenal show. Marisela, thank you so much for being on the show. I have to say, it has been one of the most educational, financial, or maybe because we're talking the lingo, we're almost like the same. We're in our 20s.
We might be
yes.
the same.
We might be the same age. No, just kidding. Oh, yeah, and that too. We might be from the same town, familia-wise. And so, you know, it just made it very approachable. And so I think that's what our comunidad needs is an approachable a personality mm-hmm. that can talk about finances without it having a name behind mm-hmm. it. Or maybe just, I don't know, people are just scared to talk about their
right.
money.
It's trust. You have to, people have to trust you.
Right.
Wait, if they're going to talk yeah, about your money, they got to trust you. One joke that I always tell a couple of my business partners in the office is I say, if you can trust me to do your makeup on your wedding day, you can trust me to help you with
there
your
you go.
money.
That's awesome. Pues ahí está. You heard it from La Leona's mouth. You need a save. Okay. So, yes, I will be talking about this for sure. Let's talk about you coming back to the show for sure, awesome. Marisela. And for all our radio escuchas, this was La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM. Everybody have an amazing week and much prayers for the Kobe Bryant family. So with that said, hasta la próxima, mi gente. Nos vemos. Bye-bye.